Auto Gutters, transform and roll out. Hey everyone, Kevin Goatee here, Gutting the Sacred Cow. We brought back one of our fan favorites to do this week's episode, Mike Price. You know, the guy who created F is for Family on Netflix. Little humble brag for the man right now. Mike hated JFK, the 1991 Oliver Stone film, and boy does he drag it through the mud. Kevin Israel and I, do we like it? Do we agree with him? Find out. Before we get to it, hey, if you want to advertise with us, guttingthesacredcow@gmail.com, please subscribe to us on YouTube. Just click subscribe and join us for our weekly merriment. And that's it. You guys have been awesome. Thank you so much every single week for giving us an hour of your time and stopping by and saying hello on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, wherever. We thank you so much. And without further ado, Mike Price doing JFK.
Gather round, here's what I know. It's just that this cow has got to go. I know some people kinda like it, yeah.
Now, if that's a fact, tell me, am I lying? Because you're part eggplant. Kevin Israel, name that film.
You know, when you start reading these quotes, I'm like, all right, he's gonna get to a word and I'm gonna be like, oh, I know what that is. He got to eggplant and I have no idea.
Really?
Nope.
Okay. Kevin Israel, we're joined by Mike Price, our buddy, the writer from The Simpsons and the creator for F is for Family. Mike, how is it going?
Good. I know what that movie's from.
I bet you do. What is it?
True Romance.
You bet your ass it's True Romance.
I've never seen True Romance.
By Dennis Hopper, yeah, to Christopher Walken, while, yep, I believe James Gandolfini is waiting in the background to,
yeah, I've never
kill
seen
him
it
or something. Oh, it's a
great
good movie.
It's great.
Good
movie. Tarantino's first written film. Of course, I did not want to include some of the other colorful dialogue in there because we don't want to get canceled. Kev, you've never seen True Romance. I'm floored. Who cares about True Romance unless someone does it in the podcast? Mike, as I said before, one of our fan favorites, Mike Price. Mike, what are you up to? Tell the fine folks where we can find you, what you're doing these days.
Well, I'm here. So happy to see you guys again. But specifically, the fifth and final season of my Netflix show, F is for Family, there's our poster, is coming out on Thanksgiving Day, November 25th,
wow,
of this year. So,
oh, cool,
you'll have something to watch with your family over Thanksgiving weekend and see a family way more fucked up than yours, I hope.
I don't know.
So that's exciting. Very excited about that.
Congratulations. Yes, absolutely.
Thank you. Thank
yeah,
you.
It's going to be better than watching any of the Lions do on that football day. I promise you, yeah, that.
Our only competition that weekend, it's this little thing called this three-part documentary by Peter Jackson about the Beatles. Who's going to watch that shit? You know, so.
Or a little movie called Ghostbusters, which Kevin Israel is going to have a real problem with for.
But I think I'm already gutting that sacred cow before I even saw the movie. I don't know about that one.
All right. So Mike has come back. Mike has kind of taken on the role of our historian of the podcast with films that do history. He did Argo, and this time he's choosing to a lot of people's chagrin, as we saw in this on today's Ask a Gutter, JFK, 1991, budget, $40 million, a box office haul of $205.4 million. 2021 money, $77.8 million, $399.9 million. Lot of schedule. I am, as we all know, IMDb 1 through 10 with decimal points. Mike, you know the game. What did JFK score on the IMDb chart?
I'm gonna say like an 8.7.
Kevin Israel,
8.9.
8 flat.
Wow.
Rotten Tomatoes, as you know, 1 through 100. Kevin Israel, critic score, JFK.
I feel like the critics like this one. I'm going to say 87.
Mike?
Yeah, I'm going to guess probably around there. I'm going to hope that some critics were a little smarter than that and say 82.
84.
Oh, all right.
Split the baby. Yeah. Kevin Israel. I'm sorry, Mike, what is the audience Rotten Tomato score?
Oh, I bet it's higher than that. I'm going to say like 89.
Kevin Israel?
I feel like the audience, I feel like this might have been more the critics than the audience. So I'm going to go 80 flat.
88. Mike Pratt showcases again.
Wow. Well, I went over, so I don't know if that counts.
By $1. Right
style.
Yeah. Quotes, you don't know shit because you've never been fucked in the ass.
Oh, that was...
Come on. You're a fine-looking man, Mr. Garrison.
Did JFK say that line in the movie?
No, that was Jackie O who said that.
Oh, I see.
Might have been John Jr. You never know.
Oh, boy.
When I get out of here, I'm going to come see you. We'll have some fun. And, of course, I've been saying this since 1991. Back and to the left. Yeah. And to the left. Kevin Israel, any quotes jump out to you?
Is this off the record, Daddy-O? Just the fact that they wrote that line is...
Daddy-O. Oh, man.
I've been sleeping for 3 years. And I didn't write down the whole sentence. I don't know why. But they said it a couple of times, actually. All the sacred cows since World War II.
I missed that. How do we
gloss? They said sacred cow like two or three times in it.
Did I miss that? Yeah. The title of this very show. Yeah. Man. Wow. Slipping. Hey, Mike, how about you? Any quotes?
Aside from, ow, as uttered by JFK.
Ow.
Ow.
Era, ow. Era. My head's missing. Era.
Yeah, I don't know. Just that one, like, black is white, people. White is black. We're through the looking glass here. You know, all that Jeff and Kevin Costner stuff.
Five fun facts.
Five fun facts. Whoa, five fun facts. Five fun facts. Five fun facts. Five fun facts.
How about you boys take a stab and try and guess who turned down the role of Jim Garrison? Huge names. In the 90s, huge. A-list all the way.
Wow, even bigger than... all right, Tom Hanks.
No, but I like the way you think. Anyone else?
Gibson.
Gibson is one of them.
Hey!
Oh, okay.
Want to take a guess on the other one?
Oliver Stone directed, so I'm going to think of anything else from Oliver. Charlie Sheen, Oliver Stone's poet.
We're through the looking glass, people. No. The answer is Harrison Ford.
I could have seen that.
Harrison Ford was taking a break from acting then, and Mel Gibson had a strained dinner meeting. But can you imagine if Mel Gibson did this?
Mel Gibson thought, "Look, this is too crazy. The conspiracies in this are too crazy, even for Mel Gibson."
Can you imagine Oliver Stone going, "Cut, Mel. The line is Lee Harvey Oswald didn't kill Kennedy. The line is not the Jews killed Kennedy. Okay, Mel?"
That was his big problem with the script.
Costner took $7 million for the role and a percentage of the box office.
He did all right.
Yeah, he did pretty damn well. I'm not gonna. This is a tough one. Playing considered for the role of ex Marlon Brando.
Oh, he would have been good.
Frank Whaley was supposed to play the role of E. Harvey Oswald. That guy's been passed over like a sorority girl during pledge time. Was set to play the role of Lee Harvey Oswald and then learned by reading a magazine that Gary Oldman got the role instead. Stone apologized and had him play the Harvey impersonator in the film.
Right. Interesting.
Kevin Costner, number three, went to bat for John Candy because Oliver Stone wanted to cut all of his scenes. Stone then wrote a letter to Candy apologizing for considering cutting his scenes. And I think they played in well. Four. Original cut was, want to take a guess how long? Even longer than a Judd Apatow film, guys.
Four hours flat.
4.5 hours.
That is insane. What more were they going to fit? Were they going to show when JFK was going to the bathroom? Like, what?
He's dead in 5 minutes in, Kevin. No. They would have showed RFK catching it.
They just added about 100 more back into the lefts from that one scene.
A lot more of the Shaw stuff was cut, as well as Jim Garrison almost getting set up in the men's airport bathroom, which is on the director's cut. Thank you. Number five, I think you might have known this, but it's good to remind those who don't. Woody Harrelson's dad was a convicted hitman on murders of three different separate occasions. On the third occasion, he admitted to killing a judge as well as part of the JFK assassination. For photographic analysis by forensic artists concluded that Woody Harrelson's dad is one of the three hobos led away from the scene.
He's not.
Photographic evidence.
At photographic evidence, he's not. Those three guys were identified by name. They were arrested on the day. It's in the Dallas Police Department files.
Which have been hidden and shredded.
I'm getting ahead of myself.
Here we go.
No. Relax, guys. Because we'd have now, Mike, our new section called Ask a Gutter, where our fans write in and have comments or questions for you.
All right.
Ask a gutter, ask a gutter, ask a gutter, ask a gutter.
Xyphos wants to say Stone is a hack and a conspiracy fraudster, so it would have sucked harder than a 2-peso TJ Hooker on a 2-for-1 night. Leave the jokes to us, Xyphos. How about that?
TJ Hooker.
Waka. No, as in, well, Tijuana Hooker.
Yeah. But it did sound like. I wonder if TJ Hooker then is a the TV show is a joke about. Maybe it's an inside joke.
Maybe Shatner gave Heather Locklear a shot back into the left out of his you know what. For Mike, imagine if social media existed since 1960. What impact would it have on the discourse of the assassination of JFK and the release of the Oliver Stone movie decades later? Thoughts?
It would have been crazy, off the rails. If Twitter or the social media existed then, it would have been like just even crazier than it is now. It just would have been, I don't know, man. It would have just been just insane.
Pedestrian at Best says, JFK, it was one of the most boring movies I absolutely love, LOL. As for the Highlander, that's for the Highlander part. Geek Vibe Nations, big website, big fans of ours, possibly Oliver Stone's worst movie ever. Did they not see U-Turn? Okay. What else do we have here? No, we've been through that stuff already. Any other questions? Where is no, not that one, not that one, not that one. Oh, Bex is at Zen's producer. KG, do not let him drag JFK. It is a goddamn classic. She also asked, did this movie make him more or less suspicious that there was a conspiracy?
You're asking me?
Yes, asking you, sir.
Well, it's an interesting story because one of the other people asked, I remember seeing on Twitter today, was like, when I saw the movie, before I saw the movie, like for a lot of the 80s or so, I was reading a lot of conspiracy books. I was like, oh, that's interesting. I don't know. You never know. I could be, you know. And then I saw the movie and I was like, this is insane. This is crazy. I mean, holy shit. I mean, this is one of the craziest things of all time, if this is true. And then I read an amazing book that cleared it all up for me that I'll talk about in my segment. But then,
excellent.
By now, for the last 20, almost 30 years, I've been absolutely 100% convinced that it was no conspiracy, that it's Lee Harvey Oswald.
Our next guest.
I will never be convinced against that.
David, the producer, asks, who does Mike think really shot JFK? Fun fact, I have cocktails with Jim Garrison's niece here in New Orleans frequently.
That was the question. Lee Harvey Oswald shot President Kennedy, and Jim Garrison's niece had an uncle who was a lunatic.
At JLED's, if a loved one walked in on you doing what Joe Pesci, Kevin Bacon, and Tommy Lee Jones were doing, how would you attempt to rationalize your behavior? We all know what scene I'm talking about.
Yeah, I think I answered back then on Twitter. I'd be like, honey, you know, we're just hanging around with the boys. I'm dressed
boys
up like,
being boys, you know,
like Mercury, you know, putting the gold paint on, the gold finger act, you know, Kevin Bacon in a wig. What's not to love?
At Newark Night, Brandon Oglesby, he wants to know, I guess this kind of answers it from your previous question, but what was your position on JFK's death before you saw the movie?
Yeah, I was really deep into read a lot of conspiracy books and everything, and was sort of thinking that it was one of those things before I saw the movie. The movie certainly confused me, and then I read this book called Case Closed by Gerald Posner that really set me straight.
So noted. Welp. In the honor and spirit of time, Kevin Israel, we shall now let our guest do what he has been itching, like, you know, pawing and sniffing like Dwight Gooden after the 86 Mets won the World Series and getting ready to hop on that parade and doing coke and then falling asleep through the parade. Let's have Mike Price go and do. And that is
sacred cow.
All right. Well, first I will say that it is a JFK. John Oliver Stone is an incredibly talented filmmaker. It's an amazing achievement. It's really beautifully made. It's got some of the most amazing actors. Like it's like an IMDb from like heaven with like every great actor in the world is in it. Jack Lemmon, Walter Matthau, Donna. As a film, as an act of filmmaking, it's amazing. As a movie that attempts to sort of tell some kind of truth about what happened to John F. Kennedy, it's probably the most irresponsible piece of filmmaking I think ever committed to film. It's done more disservice. It's fueled more absolute batshit lunacy than anyone I could ever have done. If he had just wanted to make a documentary, hey, it's me, Oliver Stone. Here's what I think happened, and presented a documentary film, whatever. That's okay. But to make it a fictional film starring Kevin Costner, and if it had been Harrison Ford, maybe even worse, although Kevin Costner was sort of fresh off of The Untouchables at this time. And I think maybe he had done Dancing with Wolves, whatever. He was mm-hmm. a big star, but he's there dressed in that three-piece suit, looking like a little bit like Gregory Peck in To Kill a Mockingbird, with that same kind of like Southern accent. Oh, I'm just a homespun lawyer trying to find the truth, you know, ladies and gentlemen, you know, and to put it in the words of this guy and making him a hero, where the real person, this is going back to David, the producer's friend, who is the real Jim Garrison's niece. To put it in the person of this guy, create this character of Jim Garrison as the hero of this movie, just out there to find the truth, when any rational reading of the real history of this is that that guy that Kevin Costner played was one of the most irresponsible, virtually insane, lunatic bullshit masters of all time. Like, this thing that he did was he decided to put on a trial 5 years or so after the assassination, to completely destroy the reputation of this guy named Clay Shaw, who's played by Tommy Lee Jones in the movie. First of all, I'm getting it all over the place. The movie is one of the most homophobic movies of all time, first of all, as well. And like, they go like, he's a homosexual. He has to kill the president. And all these scenes were like, Tommy Lee Jones is like licking his lips and like, oh, look at that boy. You know, it's so awful. It's so terrible. It's so homophobic. The scenes with Joe Pesci, the one that's behind you, Kevin, this crazy thing. It's actually, it was based on a photograph from the 1940s that showed this guy, the real Clay Shaw, in these kinds of costumes, because it was New Orleans and it was Mardi Gras. It was a picture of a Mardi Gras ball. I went to college in New Orleans with the Tulane University, where what they do during Mardi Gras time, all the rich guys who live in New Orleans, they go to these balls and they get dressed up in those kinds of costumes. They dress up like French courtiers, whatever. That's what it was. It wasn't some crazy goddamn homosexual orgy where, like, in that crazy scene, like, Joe Pesci is like whipping Tommy Lee Jones. And I read that Tommy Lee Jones came to Oliver Stone, because I was watching the movie again over the weekend, and I'd forgotten about that scene. I was like, oh my god, poor Tommy Lee Jones. Oliver Stone made him get dressed up in gold and be whipped around by Joe Pesci. And then I read that it was Tommy Lee Jones's idea, that he went to Oliver Stone. He's like, you gotta put me in the gold paint, man. So like, I got no sympathy for Tommy Lee Jones, but anyway, it's an incredible piece of character assassination against this guy. He was dead by the time the movie was made, so he couldn't sue. But like, Jim Garrison was a dangerous lunatic who was out just to sort of create publicity for himself. He was well known in New Orleans as a complete maniac, like a bullshit artist of like the highest degree, like nowhere near this guy, this paragon of virtue who's just out to set the record straight. He was a complete, absolute maniac, lunatic, nut, conspiracy idiot, you know, who has no point in being like the hero of a movie. Of anything, I wish they could have made a real movie. Maybe if I get a chance to make movies someday, I'll make a movie about how crazy this guy really was. He was thoroughly discredited. He was well known to have bribed and done intimidated people and made up stuff and changed the stories. It's super documented. There's an amazing website that's just called the JFK Files from the JFK thing that has like, they literally have a page on the website called The 100 Mistakes in This Movie. And they're super documented. The movie's just full of shit. It's like, okay, imagine this now. Okay, Kennedy was killed almost 60 years ago now. So it was way before any of us knew anything was going on, you know, before most of us were born. So it's a past thing. But imagine, let's say 10 years from now, okay, this is what this movie is like. Imagine if right now or 10 years from now, one of the great directors of our time, Martin Scorsese, let's say, or Peter Jackson, or, you know, super respected filmmaker, decided to make a movie about the the shooting of all those kids in Connecticut at Newtown or Sandy Hook, saying it was all a hoax, that all the kids were not there, nobody was killed, and starring Tom Hanks as Alex Jones. That is what this movie is. It is taking a total maniac who spread so much bullshit and as bad as that, almost as bad as that, and making him into this hero like a hero. That is not who he is. It would be like if they did a movie about QAnon and they starred Reese Witherspoon as Marjorie Taylor Greene. It is that bad. It is like elevating a person who deserves to be scorned, deserves to be remembered as like a total sham, and making him the hero who's out to find the truth. I mean, all I can tell you is, I mean, I could go on and on and on about all the pieces of the stuff that he purports to show and everything, but it's Oliver Stone, like, basically bought this, read this book by this guy, by Jim Garrison, and said, oh my God, this feeds into everything I believe about what's going on, and Oliver Stone had his own problems about the Vietnam War, and he ties it all into, like, they killed Kennedy to keep the Vietnam War going, whatever, but he literally bought lock, stock, and barrel all this guy's bullshit. The book he wrote in like the late 80s called On the Trail of the Assassins, it's so full of shit. It's so full of lies and like crazy stuff. It doesn't hold up to any scrutiny at all. And like I said, like when I was younger, I first saw like the Zapruder film on TV and I was like, wow, that looks weird, and I read about it and I read a couple of books. There's one book I remember reading at the time a little bit earlier called Best Evidence. That was all about purporting that the autopsy doctors like hid stuff or like destroyed Kennedy's brain or whatever. And I was like, well, that makes sense to me, as a young guy. And then literally if you're into the JFK stuff at all, and you really want to put your mind at ease, read this book. It's by Gerald Posner. It came out in 1993. It's called Case Closed. It is like a 950 page book that lays out in exhaustive detail every single thing that happened. It paints a picture of Lee Harvey Oswald as what he was, a guy who was like a really weird, messed up kid who was bullied in school and never had a good life, and was married to this woman. He thought he could find happiness in Russia. He didn't. He came back. He was really screwed up, a messed up, fucked up loser who happened to get this job at the Texas School Book Depository. I believe it was, he got the job after the parade route had already been set. So, and he got it only because he got fired from another job he was at because he fucked up. And his wife's friend's friend knew a guy who worked at the Texas School Book Depository. He got him that job. That's how he got there. And then with the thing with Jack Ruby was that Jack Ruby literally, like, it's a crazy story, but he had gone to downtown to Dallas that day to go to the Western Union office to send some money to one of these women who worked at his club. And he just happened to be walking by the police department, and the guy who was blocking the door moved away from the door for a second to like direct traffic, and the door happened to be open. He walked in, and literally 5 seconds later, Oswald got off the elevator and he was like, holy shit, there he is. I got a gun in my pocket. Blam, blam, blam. Anyway, I sound like a lunatic right now, but read the book. Oswald did it. Ruby was not there to kill Oswald, and all this stuff. It's like, there's a thing called Occam's razor. Have you heard of that? Which is like the simplest solution is usually the most important, the most logical one. That's what it is. So, and for Oliver Stone to then sort of make this movie that, like you said, like made $400 million, whatever, and like probably got Oscar nominations. I forget whatever it did. And it's become like everyone talks about it now. It's the one thing that people who know, if you ask about JFK, they probably mention this movie in the back and through the left and all that stuff. None of it is true. None of it makes sense. The whole thing with the back and to the left is very, very logically explained through computer analysis. They did it a few years ago, how the bullet works and everything. If you read that book, really, it'll make you less worried about other things. Like, he can sort of like, now I can feel better. That's one less thing to worry about, because there's not like a conspiracy of 8,000 people to hide all this crazy stuff. Like, it's so simple that it was one crazy fucking lunatic who happened to have a job to put him right there where he could shoot the president. That's what happened. And that's why the movie is really, really deeply irresponsible. And it really It's not a good movie.
other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play?
And it also has a lot of tropey things in it that I really hate too when I watch it. Like Sissy Spacek is in it. Amazing actress, so mm-hmm. good. And she's reduced to this role that there was also that part in The Untouchables of like the wife who's like, oh, I worry about you. I'm your wife. All I do is worry about you. And he's like, but I gotta go. I'm searching for the truth. Oh, and like there's a big fight scene where she's yelling at him. And then later on, she comes around. Oh, I was wrong. You know, but he's not. It's so funny to watch that scene. Like, I know I mentioned QAnon and Alex Jones, but it is like you can watch it and you can see how someone becomes like twisted by believing these insane conspiracies. Like there's a couple of scenes where Kevin Costner was saying like, yeah, but what about the guy behind the bush, you know, the umbrella man and everything. And Sissy Spacek is like, you're crazy. You're losing your mind. And like the kids are right here. The kids want to see their daddy. And he's like, but I got to find the truth. That's what it must be like in these houses where you read these stories about the people who get seduced into these crazy conspiracies that are out now. Like, you're like, oh my God, like you used to be a rational, normal person and you're throwing your life away on this insanity. And when I was watching those scenes, I was like, wow, that must be what it must be like going on in these people's houses now where like their grandfather is like believing all this insane stuff about Pizza Gates and all that stuff.
And he got reelected too.
Yeah, that's what he said. Yeah,
he went and became a judge.
Yeah. He became a judge. That's true, and he's in the movie.
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah.
In the movie. He plays Supreme Court Justice of the United States. Anyway, that's
Give me a number 1 to 10.
Oh, zero.
Wow. So you didn't even enjoy it just as a movie.
When I was watching it just now, I was like, why did I pick this movie? Because now I have to watch it again. Yeah, plus it's 3 hours.
Three and 8 hours and cheating.
I'll give it a one for filmmaking and for it was nice. But even then it was nice to see, oh, Jack Lemmon. Oh, Walter Matthau. I was like, oh, those poor guys at the end of their lives, they had to be in this piece of shit.
Had to. Mike, this is not Leningrad. They had choices here. They took a paycheck to be in this. That's a nice paycheck.
That's true. They did. They probably got paid well. And John Candy, who I love, is great, but he's so crazy. He's in a whole other movie.
Yeah, he really. That's a great explanation of his character.
He's like an SCTV sketch. He's in those sunglasses. I'll tell you, boy, blah, blah, blah. He's like, yeah, all right. At least he's entertaining.
He's Foghorn Leghorn.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Kevin Israel, why don't you lead off this one, sir?
Oh, man, you're going to make me lead off, huh?
Yeah.
So, well, this is going to be quick. So this is one of those movies that I haven't thought about until Kev said, hey, Mike wants to do... Actually, you know what? Mike, I think you brought up JFK on the last... when we did Argo.
About Argo, yeah.
You went off on a JFK tangent. So when Kev hit me up and said, yeah, Mike's going to finally fulfill his JFK dream, I was like, ah, I got to watch this movie again because this came out in 91, so I was a sophomore in high school. I don't think I saw it in the movie theater, but I remember them talking about it in like social studies or history class or whatever. And you know, when you're in middle school or even high school and you're learning history, you just go through the motions. Like JFK was killed in 63, Lee Harvey Oswald shot him, Ruby shot Lee Harvey Oswald, onto Nixon or whatever, like moving on. And it's, and like, that's it. And you're just like, okay. And you don't question anything. And so then when you see, you know, and unless you become a historian or you studied like deeper into history, you just go through your whole life going, well, that's what happened. And I'm not going to question it because, you know, a big book said so. So then when this movie came out, and I don't remember when I saw it. I do remember watching it and thinking, this movie is much smarter than me. Like I remember, because this is one of those movies that you can't not pay attention to a part because everything has to tie together for at the end for you to be like, oh, I get it. And if you miss one, like the beginning where Jack Lemmon gets pistol whipped. Mm-hmm. Like I remember thinking just last night when I watched this, I was like, what is that going to have to do with anything? And then it doesn't come up again till like an hour later, they bring it back and it's like, oh, that's right. He got, and the movie's so long that it feels like it was years ago that happened. Yeah. And there's so much of that in this movie that you have, that it basically punishes the viewer for not paying 1,000% attention. And in 1991, probably moviegoers and, you know, people watching at home did, because there was nothing else to do. But now, when you have your phone and you're, you know, your wife is yelling at you and, you know, she comes in halfway and she goes, "So what's this movie about?" And you're like, "Are you fucking kidding me? Let me explain to you." She's like, "So what's the theory?" And I was like, "It's too long."
She's the one now saying, "Your kids want to say goodbye to daddy."
She's like, "You've been watching this movie for 9 hours." Because I had to keep rewinding to remember who these people are.
It's like a Ken Burns documentary without the shitty haircut.
Yeah. Right. Well, actually, that's not true. The movie had a lot of shitty haircuts.
Oh, that's true.
God. Oh, Dave. Oh, Joe Pesci, especially.
Pesci's hair. Pesci was supposed to have a bad hairpiece, but it's like nobody with any money has that bad of a hairpiece. Like, it's supposed to be.
If you see the photos of these guys, like Dean Andrews, John Candy's character is a spitting fucking image.
And the eyebrows, the whole thing.
David Ferry.
David Ferry had alopecia.
Yeah. He had alopecia. He had no hair. So he had like paste on eyebrows and he wore.
Oh, that's just, yeah. It's okay.
Yeah. So everything was pretty true to what they look like. Just want to throw it out
there. It was distracting.
That is true.
Yeah.
So it was, I mean, it was cartoonish. But this was, for me, Mike, not having read any of the conflicting or disagreeing texts out there, you know, you watch it and you go, look, you know, the war machine is a huge money-making industry. If JFK was really out there to try to get out of Vietnam, where they, you know, they were just churning out helicopters. I mean, I think they said at the end of the war, they went through 5,000 helicopters and machine and everything else.
True.
Like it makes enough sense if you're at all skeptical about the government, if you have any doubts about the government and any willingness to believe that the government is it's serving in its own self-interest, you know, and I worked in state government for many years. So for me, this wasn't that far. I mean, I've never seen anything like this, but in action, but it's not that far of a leap to think people are so greedy that, and they want to keep their hold on that machine, that they would go out and, you know, look, JFK was very, very popular. And if he was going to push this whole new agenda through that was going to completely change the course of America's foreign policy, especially as it relates to defense, it makes sense.
Right.
And I agree with you on the Occam's razor thing. 100%. Look, very rarely is the more complicated explanation, the more convoluted concept, correct or reasoned. But for me, for watching this, look, without going into further research, the whole thing makes sense. It doesn't make easy sense.
That's why it's such an insidious movie, because absolute bullshit seem reasonable when when none of it is true. And it makes, I mean, I think LBJ was a insane, crazy guy too, like escalated the war, but like this movie basically says that LBJ had Kennedy assassinated, you know.
Yeah. It doesn't basically say it. He says it. Yeah, he says that LBJ was in on it, which obviously is definitely going far.
Yeah,
so. But look, aside from the theory, because we could debate the theory of the movie forever. Yeah. The movie itself is a tough watch because, again, it does require you to remember all of these pieces. The performances, everybody was completely overacting in this movie, in my opinion. Kevin Costner, who I don't know why we keep getting him forced upon us and people insisting that he's a great actor, because he's not. He is, and he always got, you think he's a great actor, Kev?
I enjoy several of his films. I shall say, Field of Dreams.
I enjoy his films. 100%.
McFarlane.
He's a terrible actor, though.
depends what it is. If it's a jock film, and I hated Tin Cup, and I don't like Bull Durham, but I like McFarlane USA, and I love Field of Dreams. Now he gets a little wonky in certain other things. I didn't see. Dances with Wolves was boring. He won the Academy Award. I forgot what won that year, but it was horseshit that what he won that year. I mean, Waterworld, do you want to go down that road? Not really. But there are other things I wouldn't say he's terrible.
I think Wolves might have beat out Goodfellas.
No, you're 100% right. It did beat out Goodfellas.
You know what? All of those movies you picked are great movies because of the great movies. They're great. Field of Dreams is a great movie because it's a great movie. Not because of Kevin Costner. Kevin Costner is just a guy rolling along with the plot, doing his weird. His accents, I don't know why. Whoever taught him to do this New Orleans accent was somebody who saw a cartoon of somebody doing a New Orleans accent. Everybody in this movie is doing this weird Cajun sort of New Orleans accent that is such a character and is so off-putting. It took me out of the movie so many times. It would almost be better if they just didn't do an accent. They should have they should have just not done an accent, because it would have been less distracting than when they were all trying to do that weird thing.
Like with in the Untouchables, he's not doing, hey, Eric, go down there to Chicago to get Capone. He's just doing Kevin Costner.
And look, the joke with Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves was that, you know, he started doing an English accent and then they were finally like, you know what?
He Princess Leia'd that one.
So, you know, I mean, again, this cast is, like Mike said, it's a monster cast, but everybody just is overacting so much. Pesci's character obviously is supposed to be a cartoonish character, but holy shit. Kevin Bacon, when he appeared, I completely forgot Kevin Bacon was in it. Kevin Bacon saw like a gay porno and was like, I guess that's how gay guys act. And that was
What do you mean? You guess?
from what the ladies tell me, the only one who like really acts in this movie and really puts on a tour de force performance is the guy who you'd expect to, Gary Oldman. Gary Oldman is a monster in this. He becomes the guy. Apparently, he went and studied, like, he met with Lee Harvey Oswald's wife, and he learned all about him, and he did his own research, because Gary Oldman is a fucking nutcase like that. And he was great. Everybody else around him was ridiculous. Yeah. John Candy was insanity. Absolute insanity. I can't believe Stone wrote an apology letter. I don't care if people like to part, but when he said daddy-o, I'm sorry. He was supposed to be an attorney, and I know I was an attorney, and I know a bunch of asshole attorneys, but that was bananas. And even if that's how the guy was, holy shit. That was absolutely ridiculous.
You get the right tip, but the wrong ha-ha.
Yeah, right.
That's been a quote.
One thing that's hilarious in this movie that I found unintentionally hilarious is that Wayne Knight is in it, you know, who plays Newman on Seinfeld. And Seinfeld did that entire episode starring Keith Hernandez. That's all about that. And with the back into the left and everything. And he's in it. That's so funny.
Oh, that's
There's
funny.
One point where Wayne Knight has a look on his face that is the classic, like, hello, Jerry face.
Yeah. And there were a lot of scenes in this movie where they clearly just wanted to have, you know, they wanted to get into Costner's, Garrison's personality and his life and make more of a story out of it than just a kind of a documentary. So, and a lot of it just didn't, it just was stupid. The scene where he finds out that RFK dies and then he goes in and he bangs his wife. Like, that's, he's so upset. Because you know what gets me funny? Assassination.
Fuck you. Did you hack at my computer? That's exactly what I wrote verbatim. Seriously. Right. Verbatim.
That's the scene where she's like, I'm sorry, I doubted you.
Yeah, right.
Well, let's do it.
Right. Yeah, and then they just start. It's so ridiculous. I wish he did it when Martin Luther King got shot too, just so that really could have been like his thing. Like, oh, whenever somebody gets, I gotta fuck. Whenever somebody
then
gets,
you find
killed.
Out that he's behind all these assassinations. Yeah. That's the only way he gets.
Which just his way to get laid.
That's right.
My wife will only bang me.
John Lennon.
Hey, honey.
I haven't had sex in a while. I'm going to go to New York and shoot John Lennon.
Wait, honey. Ronald Reagan got shot but didn't die. Can I get at least a blowjob?
Yeah, you'll get a dry handy. That's what you get for that.
Look at Mike cracking up. Love it.
And then the this whole scene, like, obviously there was no way for them to know that this happened, and it's utterly ridiculous. The whole thing is utterly ridiculous. But look, I could go on, but for me, it was an interesting movie. All the facts in it, the story in it was, I just didn't really care about Garrison's life. It was a lot of overacting, and I, you know, it's not a movie that I'll ever like rush to see again. But because Mike brought it up, I might check out that book, but I have to see if I can dedicate 6 years of my life to reading it.
It's an excellent, excellent book.
So, and all of that, I rest my case.
Give me a number.
5.
These notes brought to you by guttingthesacredcow.com, where you get fantastic t-shirts, hoodies, hats, bags, mugs, hell, cell phone holders, and even JFK armor plates to put in your suit so you don't get assassinated. How about that? or a helmet for him in that case. GuttingTheSacredCow.com every day also has blog articles. Make sure you like and subscribe to us on YouTube as well as all social media outlets. Notes, I forgot John Williams did the music for this. Another gem in the goat's crown. There's no one better. Fight me. Can you imagine being in a bar when any of our last three presidents got shot? You'd hear a lot more than a single shut the fuck up after one person claps and cheers.
Oh, yeah.
Jack Ruby, played by Lou the Caddy Master and Noah from Noah's Arcade. Did you catch that?
Right. Brian Doyle Murray.
Yep. Lou jacked up the price of Coke. He's been losing at the track. Okay. Must have been weird for all of JFK's side pieces to tell Jackie O at the wake that they're sorry for her loss. I would love to have a hobnobbing of these characters. Tommy from Goodfellas, Nikki from Casino, and David Ferry. I bet they all have a lot in common. This is a very impressive star-studded cast from the last 40 years of movie history. It's very, very impressive how they assembled all these top-notch ones. If your boss wants to do a walking tour of New Orleans at 7:30 in the morning on a Sunday, time to find a new job. I thought it was fun seeing Pesci and Candy stepping outside their normal, typical, you know, roles as a wackadoo lawyer and the insane, defrocked gay priest. I got a kick out of that. $20 for gay sex with Kevin Bacon. Kevin Israel, put your wallet away. It's just a movie. Do you think when Garrison is dropping some of these conspiracy theories, Wayne Knight character says, Now Jim Garrison decides to have a meeting on Easter Sunday and no one in his office or Clay Shaw says, fuck off, I'm having Easter ham and looking for eggs that day, pick another one. Everyone in this movie smokes like they're waiting for their baby to be born or they're about to walk the Green Mile. I mean, Big Tobacco did not kick in a few bucks for this film. That was a missed opportunity.
Right, that's the real killer.
Yeah, right. That costume party scene brought Kevin Israel back to week four of pledging. Week five, he was spray painted bronze and wore a King Tut mask while his nipples were being pinched.
This from Brother, Take Your Pants Down.
I love the David Ferry spilling his guts in that hotel room scene. That's fantastic. I did think there's a lot of good tension scenes, especially when the DA employees get the screws put to them. I enjoyed that. Now, I read a lot of JFK books too, sir. I have not read the one that you have specified. I read the Fletcher Prudy book, the guy who's known as X. That book is drier than a cat's tongue. All right. So it's going to take a lot to get through that, but quite informative. Anyone else waiting for Donald Sutherland to tell Kevin Costner? I'm not joking. This is my job. At Animal House reference fell on one set of ears. Okay. Bill and Lou, who worked in the DA's office, their Louisiana accent is more Bugs Bunny than Bayou. I like alliteration, if you couldn't tell. Maybe I'm, but you already said this, but I don't give a shit. Maybe I'm different, but the assassinations of public or political figures don't get me sexually fired up like Jim Garrison and his wife do. Kevin Israel, I'm shocked you didn't point this one out. The courtroom scene, the very end, had one of Garrison's witnesses standing directly in front of Clay Shaw's desk.
Yeah,
that's the man. I go, wait a minute. Last I checked, witnesses can't leave the stand. That doesn't happen.
You know what? Once it got to the court scene, I stopped taking notes because I was like, all right. But my wife and I both said, why is he standing in front of him?
Yeah.
As someone
it would have been really funny after that giant speech, someone said, like, sir, this is an Arby's or one of those jokes.
Sir, the line's back there. Yes, this is a ton of skewed bullshit in this film, but I find this film entertaining as all hell. Look, they passed a law because of this film. They passed a law for the Information Act to be passed to the public. That's some shit. Give it credit. So that way the public has access to hidden documents. This book sparked me to read at least five books on JFK. And I really wish 2029 would be here tomorrow because I'm dying to see all those documents. Now, you talked about Lee Harvey Oswald. I disagree with you. I think it was a conspiracy, but I don't think it was the way that it went down. The answer is who killed JFK? The mob killed him. Why? Because Joe Kennedy got his sons in office and got him through the mob. to say they're going to lay off. You can go do what the fuck you want. Right. And everything's hunky-dory. Once the Kennedys got in office, that's when the mob said, Joe, tell your boys to calm the fuck down. Joe tried telling them to do that. That's how Marilyn Monroe got killed. They were supposed to take her to some, is it Whore Island? I think they called it something like that. She was supposed to be killed at the island. Joe told JFK, do not bring her down here. She is going to get killed. And of course, she dies later on.
Okay.
My answer is, I think Traficantes, the guys did that. Because
all right, that's fine.
You disagree?
I completely, 100% disagree. It was just this poor asshole with a gun.
And then RFK fucking gets whacked after the same thing later. Sirhan with the whole, God, what's that movie? Not the Manhattan Project. What the fuck am I thinking of? Where he's brainwashed.
Parallax View.
Angela Lansbury. They remade it a few years ago.
Oh, Manchurian Candidate.
Candidate. You got Manchurian Candidate? No, please. Yeah, that was a mob saying, RFK and JFK, you fucked us over. Now we're going to take care of you.
Okay.
This film has a ton of memorable characters. I love the stories, and I know the theories are all fucking wackadoo, but it's fun to watch. Is it historically accurate? No, it's not. This film passes the rope test for me. I do like it. I really like it. Again, I know a lot of it is bullshit. It is the complete opposite of what a 3-hour film is. It moves for me. It moves very quickly. Doesn't feel like it drags. Doesn't bother me as long as it flows. This flowed. I know it's full of nonsense, but I still like the journey. 8 out of 10.
So he should have said, he should have called it like FJL or something, you know, and like just change all the names, have it take place in like some city called, you know, old Orleans, or whatever. Like if it was a complete fictional movie, that's fine. But they're trying to act like this real shit really happened. That's
I know. Problem. Like a Sam Spade film noir, New that's Orleans, whatever. I hear you. And you did the same thing with Argo too. And I knew this was your argument, but it's all bullshit. Then that's just taking you out of the frame of reality. I get it. Yep. I get it. Critics, 5-star reviews.
Critics, 5-star reviews. Critics, 5-star reviews. Critics, 5-star reviews. Critics, 5-star reviews.
One of the most frenetically edited studio movies ever made, JFK is a Paradox, a movie of unstoppable velocity that seems to drag on forever. All right. JFK is so effective that regardless of one's agreement or disagreement with the conclusions Stone draws from the considerable research, there is no simply denying its success as a work of remarkable persuasive power. It's damn entertaining and thought-provoking. If you can forget some of the hyperbole, JFK comes off as a first-rate murder thriller. Fair. Critics, 1-star reviews.
Critics, 1-star reviews. Critics, 1-star reviews.
One doesn't have to buy the Warren Commission's version of The Nightmare in Dallas to find Stone's hysterical conspiracy theory monumentally unconvincing. As scenery-chewing entertainment, JFK would appear to be an interesting failure. While Stone has stirred up the waters with good conscience, and in JFK's own parlance, with vigor, most people are likely to regard JFK as BS. Sad to say, Oliver Stone's 3 hours of bombast did little to raise the level of discussion. I disagree. I think that film had that got everyone talking again in 91 because I was in high school. You were too. That's dumb review. Eat shit. Amazon, 5-star reviews.
Amazon, 5-star reviews.
This movie, the movie has an attention to detail that rivals a Stanley Kubrick film. Pause.
Yeah. Oof.
Which is the highest compliment I can give. It is superbly edited, but best of all, it leaves the viewer with a thirst for additional knowledge about the JFK assassination conspiracy, so much so that Congress was compelled to act by passing the JFK Assassination Records Collection Act. There you go. This movie is fantastic. Oliver Stone will never top it. Outstanding filmmaking, great performances from the entire cast, especially Joe Pesci's manic Fountain Blue hotel room story. However, this film is not correct. There was no grand conspiracy at the heart of the murder of JFK. Deep analysis of the Zapruder film demonstrates this conclusively. Undoubtedly, one of the greatest films in history. Stellar cast, each performing at their best without the sense of competition. This film should be required to watch, especially this day. This is clearly Oliver Stone's best movie. It have you not seen Any Given Sunday? I disagree. And I fucking love Any Given Sunday. I'm not saying that tongue in cheek. It is his directorial masterpiece. He captured the courage, the dynamism and eloquence of Jim Garrison. Really eloquence. Whom I consider a genuine American hero. If I had to name my one film as my all-time favorite, Oliver Stone's JFK would be it without question.
Written by Jim Garrison's niece.
She read this sitting next to Dave, the producer, having a bourbon. Amazon, one-star reviews.
Amazon, one-star reviews. Amazon, one-star reviews. Amazon, one-star reviews now. Amazon, one-star reviews. Amazon, one-star reviews. Amazon, one-star reviews now. Amazon, one-star reviews. One-star, 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 one-star reviews.
The only thing correct here is JFK's initials. Oliver Stone is a great man, but his view of history is diluted. I would love to debate him or talk. I would love to try and understand why he twists the facts so dramatically. I really like him and admire him as a man, but not as a movie maker. Next one. Okay. Next one. I went to sleep. What more can I say? Next one. Sucks. Brevity is the soul of wit, right, Mike?
Really, yeah, is.
Really, exactly.
The story was rushed, much like the Kennedy autopsy.
Okay.
Next one. He died.
Spoiler alert.
Did they forget to write For Our Sins? Last one. I find those like Oliver Stone, Jim Mars, and others disgraceful in their continued actions claiming that anyone or any group assassinated our president, even now after virtually hearing every conspiracy theory and false claim of a shooter other than Lee Harvey Oswald shot President Kennedy, is appalling to me. It is a dishonor to the memory of one of America's most beloved presidents, and now that we know the real truth, in quotes, about the tragedy of that November day, I think that it's time these people stand up and admit they were wrong, and they should apologize to the American people for their continued lying and spreading false conspiracy claims simply for the purpose of making money for themselves. Signed, Ann Landers. Kevin Israel, did Mike Price gut the sacred cow?
I don't know.
Wow.
I mean, Mike, you made a lot of great points.
There's a lot of pension out here for believing in fantasy worlds.
But you know what? Look, here's the thing. I don't know. You could be 100% right about this theory. I'm not invested enough to go one way or the other. But I don't think you've destroyed it as a movie, right. as a storytelling. You know, piece of art.
All right.
I think there's still
he's mad.
I'm mad. Mike's That's all right. I'll accept. It's all right.
Mike's going to come murder me now. He's going to shoot me from a fucking book depot.
Yeah.
I'm going to assassinate you and then use that to get some happy time.
Well, you know what? I'm going to be wearing a gold helmet, so you can come try.
Well, thank God there is no more F for family season because you would not have a part in that one. Ha.
Mike, you did a great job, but I think JFK is going to stand to fight another day.
All right. Well, he won't. The man himself can't, but yeah. I hear you. I will say, just in case anyone out there who really cares about this is interested at all, and I have nothing to do with this book, I don't make any money off of it, but here it is. It's called Case Closed. Just read it. If you read it, you will, and if you really do believe in all the conspiracy stuff, just read it with an open mind. And I really believe that you'll come out of it saying, okay.
Is there a Cliff's Note version?
Yeah.
It's probably on an audiobook.
Can John Candy do the audio version?
Oh, that would be good
if
he could. All right, Daddy-O, let me tell you what happened.
See, JFK's head went back into the left, tip tap back into the left, slip slap back into the left, hip hop back into the left. I just channeled Scatman Carruthers in there, I think. Yeah. Mike Price, tell the folks again, what are you up to? Where can we find you? What are you doing, buddy?
Family, our fifth and sadly final season. will come out on Netflix on Thanksgiving Day, November 25th. It's really great. It's epic. Our final season, I'm so proud of it. The work I did with Bill Burr and the rest of our cast, it's fantastic. And as always, I'm still working on The Simpsons, and new episodes are out just about every Sunday. A lot of great ones coming out right now, too.
Just watched the Treehouse of Horrors one this past weekend.
That was fun. Yeah.
Always is. Kevin Israel, how about yourself, sir? What are you up to?
KevinIsrael.com for upcoming dates. I'm at Foxwoods up in Connecticut every month. So check out my calendar if you're in that area. And make sure you leave us a rating and a review, 5-star rating and a quick review on your podcast platform of choice. It does matter. I can't say it enough. We don't get tired of saying it. And we love reading and highlighting some of your reviews, as Kevin Goatee likes to go out, pick them. The great ones make us happy, and the terrible ones just make us laugh because you're always wrong.
We don't get many terrible reviews. Very few. My favorite ones are, you guys are hilarious, but you cuss too much.
Cuss too much. Too much goddamn profanity.
Yeah, did Jim Garrison's niece write that one too? Kevin Goatee.
My stars and garters.
It's hilarious. KevinGoatee.com for dates as well as NFL picks. You get all that every Sunday, especially with my daughter eating dessert. But my NFL picks, KevinGoatee.com, Gutting the Sacred Cow on YouTube. Get that subscribe. Instagram, give us a follow. TikTok, we're on there, but we don't floss because, you know, we're in our 40s and that's horseshit. Mike Price, goddamn it. I love seeing
your
face
guys.
There every
always
every
happy
so often.
To come.
Awesome, Mike. Awesome.
Well, take care, you guys. See you later.
Thank you.
Later.